The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Lagos, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. It's Tuesday, May the 30th, 2023. You're welcome. I'm Sharif Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning, Sharif. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm good. How are you?
I'm cool. This is a new era now.
Yeah, it is.
Yes, and let's see what comes out of it. We hope it turns out well.
We hope so too.
Yes.
By the way, this is confirmed. It's turned out well. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can join on those two platforms. That's right, Nigeria Info 99.3. And let's know what you think, okay? Let's begin this morning with... Let's start with Daily Trust. We're going to start from this story here on page 15. Fuel subsidy is gone. Tinubu.
Yeah, okay. I would have to start this, by playing tribute to the tenacity of this gentleman and President Bola Ahmed Tinubu. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, as given all the hurdles and all the various things that were, spread across. I couldn't have done one tenth of that. Sheriff, with all the baggage and all the whatever, he pushed it, and he was able to achieve his ambition, at least so far. Well, so far or not, at least he's been sworn in as president, and that right. is going to go down in history. That's not an easy feat to achieve, I must say. What your feelings are about politics is up to you as an individual. But like he would also say, politics is not a tea party, and things are not served to you a la carte. So in spite of all the baggage that he had, he finally got sworn in yesterday, and I give him kudos for that. The prayer that we have is that it will turn out for good, because if he doesn't succeed, we don't succeed. I mean, he's tied to it. If he works, he works for us. If he fails, we're all doomed. We're all as good as dead, because we're very close to rock bottom. So it is in that spirit that I believe that people should wish him well. Whether you believe in him or not, he's the man driving the vehicle in which you are seated. And in that sense, we wish him well. How he moves forward from now on is now up to him. He's no longer a candidate. And the earlier even those around him appreciate this fact, I think the better it would be for everybody. As there's a story somewhere there where Akeredolu gives him some very good advice. When we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. The thrust of the story here, which was what I've heard all morning on Sheriff's program, it was his speech. And that was what everybody was looking forward to, except myself, because I'm done with looking forward to speeches of politicians. I want to see what happens. I'd like to, in a hundred days' time, the first 100 days, be able to now do a proper review and get a clear direction in which we are going. The first thing Bola Tinubu needs to do is to cool down. There was one sentence that he used when he was talking about the subsidy yesterday that was completely inappropriate, and he probably didn't know. He probably wants to come out as being decisive, as being very strong, and determined, and you could see that eagerness in him. He's ready to go. That sentence is, fuel subsidy is gone. It was unprecedented. It would have been better if his speechwriters had said, we are going to knock off the fuel subsidy. In a few days from now, we'll be able to tidy up everything and then look for the way forward. As president, you shouldn't have just said, oh, subsidy is gone. And guess what? It has created panic. And the reverberation of that panic, I can assure you, will not end until some spokesperson, maybe today, hopefully, will come out and explain in detail what is meant. You don't, by fiat, just say that subsidy is gone. Okay, we are going to remove the subsidy definitely. In the next 1 or 2 weeks, we'll be able to sit down with all the stakeholders and find out, but it is definitely going to go. But because the moment you said subsidy is gone, everybody goes into panic mode. What am I going to do with my stock? Oh, what am I going to do with the petrol I ordered that is on the way? There are so many stakeholders, genuine for that matter, including myself, yourself, and all of us, you know, who need what I would call a proper explanation. He can't give that explanation in his speech, but he can easily indicate that, oh, look, in a week from now or so, we'll tidy up. Otherwise, the speech, you know, like I said, yes, because of my job, I read it. You know, yes, I paid attention to certain things. I would rather wait 100 days and see how far. Because Buhari had so many speeches, but I don't know how many he fulfilled. He talked about rechanneling funds into better investment in public infrastructure and so on and so forth. He also talked about, you know, currency. He was more diplomatic and more gauged, in, you know, since he will direct the CBN to do this, to do that. So we are looking at one rate, hopefully, as we move on. And he also said it will target higher GDP growth and significantly reduce employment. Those are normal rhetoric you hear from politicians anyway. But he seemed to have paid attention to the issue of multiple taxes. For him to have said it in his speech, it means that most likely something will be done. Also about electricity, something is likely to be done, and so on and so forth. And I also like the fact that he reached out to those who were his fellow competitors, and he reached out to them. And so all said and done, I think it was a good speech as far as speeches go. You know, okay. It was a good speech as far as speeches go, but I'd be a bit more patient to give time to then see what happens thereafter. The story here says, for example, first subsidy, queues return to NNPC stations as others stop selling. Others stop selling completely. And of course, you know, the effect of that is better imagined than thought. But all said, the sheriff, I think that if the speech is anything to go by, I think this gentleman has a clear direction of the presidency that he wants to run. Mm-hmm. I think he has a clear direction, which is a slight departure from the past. We cannot safely talk about that now. Clear direction. We know we have somebody at least who, you know, to a large extent should know his onions and know what he wants to do. How he's going to overcome one or two challenges we saw, you know, on the tape yesterday and so on and so forth, we will look at more critically after we've watched him for 100 days. It's important for people to understand that when we are critical of our leaders, we don't hate them. So for all you young guys out there who don't understand the way these things go, this hate is too much. It's not hate. My life is at stake. Your life is at stake. So if you are critical, you want things done properly. It's not about whether you like somebody or you hate somebody. I'm in a vehicle. You want me to keep the driver awake, give him cola nut and whatever, you know, to keep him awake. So it's not all this nonsense about, I've deleted most of these people anyway, about hate. Have an open mind. You must be critical of your leaders to show them direction. They are not superhuman. There are some things that people at the top don't feel about those at the bottom. What is most important to them, I can assure you, is feedback. So let's see how it goes, Sheriff.
Right. Let's quickly go take our next story this morning. This is coming from The Punch. The Punch has a story on page 14. Tinubu, Obaseki, others mourn as Dokwesi dies at 71.
Yeah, that was a very sad one yesterday. Conflicting reports, but what I'm reading in The Punch here, a family member said that Chief was not ill. As a matter of fact, he was doing his routine exercise using his treadmill in his residence when he fell. Because he was alone, the treadmill, which was still running, dragged him, causing facial and other body injuries. He was taken to the hospital and then he died. I'm going to have to call a family doctor, Nini, I think that's her name. I'm going to have to call her, bring her to the studio sometime next week. to let us know the various accidents that are waiting for us from our lifestyle. Like bathrooms, for example. Bathrooms. I spent the better part of the last 2 weeks looking for proper mats to put in my bathroom. You know, various things. Having your bath with the heater on. I'm going to have to bring in this family doctor and maybe one or two other lifestyle people to, you know, to educate us on the things we need to be careful about. Raymond Dokwesi is 71. He shouldn't have been using the treadmill alone. If you didn't know that, now we know. If somebody had been with him, all that person would have needed to do would have been to switch off the treadmill. Now, you know, treadmills are very dangerous things. I tried using the treadmill once until I got rid of it. Mistakenly, I increased the speed. You know. So, Baba, who wanted to go on 20 kilometers per hour, I ended up going 120 kilometers per hour. But I still managed to stretch out to switch. So, we'll contribute that to our society to stop some of these accidents that could very well be avoided. Raymond Dokwesi is the luckiest person in the media as far as, you know, this our job goes. He got the license that no other person had gotten, if you ask me, because, of course, multi-choice now came to change the game. He got a network license way back then. May his soul rest in peace. He contributed his part. He was also heavily involved in politics. Sheriff, one of these days, it'd also be good for us to examine, for all you care, how, as a media owner, whether it's, when we say appropriate now, that's probably a wrong word, whether it is advisable for you to be involved in full-fledged politics. I'm inclined, it's not my business how he runs, but I'm inclined to think that probably if he hadn't been deep in sectional politics, AIT would have gone much further than it did. But that's my thinking. But remember that I'm a professional and not even a businessman. So, and of course, politics is a no-no for me. So maybe my opinion, I better just keep it to myself. But I don't know what you think.
Nothing at all, to be honest. Nothing at all, to be honest.
Why do you have to say, to be honest? Would you have lied?
Yes, I could have. I could have said one or two things just to
suit to cool me down
to the moment.
The moment, you know. Yes.
Let's take a look at
his soul rest in peace.
Amen
yes.
to that. Okay. Amen to that.
So go on.
We have the spread, yes.
Metro. Police probe begins as rampaging youth set police station ablaze. Bloody clash. Tasweed Senate holds emergency meeting today. 24-year-old man killed by police bullet in Oregon. A 24-year-old generator engineer, Idris Jagun, he lost his life to a stray bullet by a policeman in Lagos here. Command keeps mum as policemen seal Rivers Hotel bar. Teenager stabbed to death over slippers ownership. Oh my God. Sorry if I'm sleeping, I have a bit of a cold. Police probe death of lady in Lagos Hotel. A 32-year-old woman. What's her name? Grace Shiage, who died after she allegedly drank an insecticide. That's the second one in 1 week. Excuse me. Five die as car crashes into Kogi Canal. Two in police net for killing Ondo man. Jigawa government's inauguration paralyzed commercial activities. Mother, two daughters found dead in Lagos shop. At Okoku Maiko. Wow. Sanwo-Olu promises gender equality, social inclusion. Pray for Nigeria, Governor urges Hajj pilgrims. I look forward to the day when the government will hands off the issue of pilgrimage and recognize that these things, both Christian, Muslim, or whatever pilgrimages, these are for individuals. And there's you know, the private sector now, they're doing a fantastic job. Various tour operators are organizing these things. The government should pass it to them and concentrate on governance itself. So that's much of the news that you have today.
Right. We're going to quickly jump to the editorial. Let's take this editorial from The Punch. Tinubu reunites the country, restructure or fail.
Well, you need to read this editorial. And indeed, The Punch says that from today, they are running a six-part series of editorials setting a broad agenda of national survival and recovery for the president based on current challenges and his own campaign promises. Excuse me. It says that in appointments, Buhari broke all records of sectionalism. They talk about that. Religious particularism and nepotism. He alienated other regions, faith, and ethnic nationalities. For sensitivity reasons, I won't read some of the things that are mentioned here. I think, as far as I'm concerned, he's gone with the man. So that is history. But they say that Tinubu will have to reach into his famed networking toolkit to heal the wounds and unite the country behind him. It is a daunting task. Okay? It says, in his desperation to swing the ascendant northern establishment to realize his ambition, he ran on a same faith ticket, further alienating Christians and the North Central. So he needs to repair that. He needs to pay attention on hostility from the Southeast, you know, that preceded the Civil War. And since most Southeasterners made considerable emotional investment in Peter Obi of the Labour Party, who had presented a fresh face in politics and gained a national following. Okay, so he needs to, you know, he says Tinubu won only 37% of the vote in an election where the ethnic and religious divisions rose to fever pitch. And so he needs to have that at the back of his mind, and he should immediately commence moves to reform and clean up the electoral system. Democracy is hollow when elections and their outcomes do not inspire universal acceptance. They also say that he must run an inclusive government in appointments and policies, and he needs to assure those alienated in the last 8 years that they have an equal stake in the country. Surely, he shouldn't allow his media people go on the path of the Buhari spokesperson who had healers and wailers and all that gigantic nonsense. Okay? He's president of all. He is, I repeat, he is president of all. He belongs to everybody. He's no longer exclusive to APC or the various groups that were in existence. So they also talk about national cohesion cannot be fully accomplished without a strong, immediate commitment to restructuring the country. So they talk about restructuring. Tinubu should rally federal and state legislators to immediately invoke the doctrine of necessity to facilitate state policing. State policing. You know, they also talk about that. And the last paragraph says that in his battle for the APC presidential ticket, Tinubu had famously declared Emilokan for Yoruba for it is my turn. He should demonstrate quickly whether his turn translates to continuing with the current polarizing policies and sustaining the restrictive centralizing structure driving Nigeria towards implosion, or whether he would be a transformative leader committed to shepherding the country to true federalism and greatness. He should opt for the latter and hit the ground sprinting. I think that in that regard, he would show a lot of promise, because you can see that his influence goes across the whole country politically. And that is a sign of somebody who probably has a better spread and thinks more in broader terms than in restricted areas. Buhari's contacts were completely limited. I wonder how he won the election back to back, given the little exposure that and contacts that he had. But that's a story for another day.
It's looking like it's going to be a daunting one for him to unite the country. The country is President Tinubu. The country is quite polarized, perhaps more than ever before.
But he has a political wherewithal to do it, luckily. He has the foundation that he can build on. His contacts are phenomenal across the country, and he should put them to good use. The question is, would these contacts, would they want things for themselves or some things for the betterment of the country? These contacts, are they friendly with him, close to him, because of what they can get for themselves or because they have a purpose for the country as a whole?
I was going to say that this contact also might be, it's most likely, some of them will be those that, you know, have held this country down. So if he's going back to them again, it's almost like saying, okay, you know what, I'm not going to remove her subsidy. Help me solve this issue.
Yes, because like I just said, Tinubu is going to fail on a lot of promises to politicians if he's going to succeed. He has to.
But how do you take away power from these power brokers give it to the people? Who can do that?
How did he take over power to become the president?
A very good example of this question is past presidents failed woefully when it comes to removing fair subsidy.
Yes.
He is determined to do that.
Yes.
The former president tried to do it, but he did it as he was about to exit.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't exactly do it because he couldn't do it for 8 years in power.
Mm-hmm.
So he left the entire thing to Tinubu.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he came into power with a promise of removing fuel subsidy.
Who's
but then Buhari now.
Oh, okay.
But then he couldn't do it when he saw the reality on ground.
And also, he didn't have any refinery on ground. Now you have a refinery in Dangote. Doesn't that make the scenario change?
So nothing much is going to change from the expert that I've spoken to. From what I've heard, maybe we will save about 7% or so, because we still have to move fuel every now and again, you know, from the refineries down to...
I think it will depend on how creative we are. Surely you have to give crews to Dangote to refine.
Yes.
At what cost do you give it to him? That is some kind of subsidy. But it's not cash driven.
It's not cash driven.
You understand? Mm-hmm. It's like you have a restaurant, and you from that restaurant you can't feed yourself and your family. You know you have a thriving restaurant and you can't give it one amala and cow leg and whatever, you know, and write off that kind of a thing. You have the crude. If you are creative enough with very honest intentions, you can do a very good deal with him. You know, and it's not cash driven. It doesn't take away from revenue. In reality, you understand what I'm saying. So it depends. It's easier when you have a local. This thing. What Tinubu probably needs to do, I hope he's bold enough to do it, is to sell the other refineries and get them up and doing.
Yeah, privatize them.
Privatize them.
So that private investors can take these things.
Sell them outright.
Hmm.
Look at what telecoms did to us way back. I remember those days to take a call to London. You'd have to go and sit in Nitel on the marina.
Mm.
Up to the point that one time a group of our friends said, Jimmy, you have to go and chase one baby there so you can always go through the back door.
Mm.
I ended up having a girlfriend I didn't want.
Imagine. Yes. Just imagine that.
You know, we're back in the 70s. This subsidy issue, as far as I'm concerned, a bit of creativity, and the country is ready for it. We're all fed up.
Is the country ready, though?
We're ready. We're ready. If we are not ready now, we never will be ready. Let's face it head on. Like I said, with creativity, it might not be as bad as people are painting.
Mm.
Definitely, I don't think it will go up to 700 naira, a liter. It's just the way he put it in his speech and his choice of words, you know, that has created.
But he explained it a little bit. He said that it wasn't in the budget that he meant.
No, we know that. Look, if it's not in the budget, you can always do a supplementary budget. So that's not an excuse.
Mm.
He had said from
day one.
From day one, he was, and he was very, very firm about it. You know, very, very firm about it, now the Ip Man, all the ones who should have consulted before are now raising hell.
Yeah.
He knows how to take care of these people.
Let's hope he does that. Let's take our next story quickly. Akeredolu urges Tinubu to shun frivolities, bring on board experts with proven capacity.
Yeah, I'm glad this is coming.
I think everybody is looking forward to this part of his government.
Yes. That's why I said I'd rather wait 100 days. Let's see what kind of cabinet we have.
Mm.
I hope it's not the same names.
Yeah.
I just pray to God it's not the same set.
What do you think about Dele Alake, though, as his spokesman?
He has denied it.
Oh, he has?
Yes, I saw somewhere in the social media.
Okay.
I was, to be honest with you, I've known Dele almost all my life.
Yeah.
We were UNILAC together and so on and so forth.
Mm.
And, of course, he was in Concord and all these things. And he's quite matured.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is that Dele needs to understand clearly now that the combative mood is no longer. He's president of all. He's father of all. So what you want to do is to draw more people near him, those who like him and those who don't. Don't go along Adesina's path, who was talking about healers and wailers and all this nonsense that you had in the past. If Dele is well advised, if I were him, I'd get one or two very seasoned PR people. Some would even work for him pro bono, just to to have a program. The country is fractured.
It is.
Plus the level of poverty is fractured.
Deeply fractured.
Deeply fractured, you know, and the election, last election even made it worse. So you need somebody, a spokesperson, who knows that the president has to unite the country, critics and all. And I think he has a wherewithal to do that, if you know, if he sets his mind to it.
If she but he denied. If she were invited by Uncle Dele to come, you know, help him with the PR part of his job. If he's given
him
the job, like pro bono, for instance,
would
you be willing to offer your
not even Dele, if anybody calls for my advice, as long as I'm not taking up an appointment, why would I want my country to thrive? But and in Dele's case, it's even easier. We've been friends for close to 30 years. You know, we've been to places where you didn't like together. So,
so you can't mention those places now. You have used laughter to cover it.
Dele, I know Dele and I were very good friends even before I got to uni. Like when I was in uni, we were good friends. So I mean, of course, if when the Buhari people approached me, they did it in a manner that I didn't like. I felt they were rude to me, and I declined. But that's a story for another day. That's gone. We put that behind us now.
Okay, so we have to go now, Lagos. Thank you all for being a part of our
show. Yeah, and I was going to do, maybe I'll do it at 9.
Oh, what's that?
A comment on the story on the governor. He too was sworn in yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. Lagos, that's our show. He'll be back at 9 to do the rest. Okay, thank you, sir, for coming.
All right, thank you.
I'm Sheriff. Bye for now. At 8 o'clock, let's talk about the president's inauguration speech at 8 o'clock.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not